Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Well, good morning. How are we doing? Doing good? Wow, this crew right here is pretty rowdy. What's going on here? Okay, what happened here? How this crew is not, right? Oh, now you're just competing. I get it. Okay. Well, I'm glad you guys are here. We are concluding our conversation called Fight Club, and I'm actually fighting a cold, so bear with me this morning. If you're a guest here, so glad that you are here. I want to make sure that you feel at home. I know people get invited here all the time, and so I'm glad that if you're joining us, as you just started joining us in the past couple of weeks, glad that you're here. So let me just start off by asking you a really quick question to just put you at ease here. How many of you are on Tinder? Okay. Kenny, you're on Tinder? Does your wife know that? Okay, it's so funny, because I know him, and it's so funny. So, I know, it's one of those questions that no one's going to say yes to, right? But we've heard of dating apps, right? Have we heard? Okay, there's Bumble, there's all kinds of things. If you're not Middle Eastern, but if you're Indian or Pakistani, there's actually an app called Shaadi.com. Shaadi is marriage, and it's kind of funny. I'm not on it, but... we're starting a brand new series next week about love, relationships, sex, and rock and roll. So one of those. Yeah, one of those. And so it's called Love Me Tinder. That's what we're calling it. And so it's actually a great conversation to invite people to because I think we're going to have really a mature conversation about what love and dating and relationships really look like in this landscape of the world we live in. And so what does it look like to find your soulmate or your partner, or what does that look like? And so this is going to be a great conversation. So it's next week. Help me out. Spread the word if you could. Use social media, whatever it takes. If you're following me on Instagram, use that and just you know, you can just screenshot whatever I post or repost what I do. And so let's involve a lot of people in this conversation, because I think there's a lot of heartache, there's a lot of brokenness when it comes to this topic. And so this is a great community to have that conversation, especially if you have kids, invite them, middle school, high school. I think it's a great opportunity for us to really speak into show people what it means to really be in a conversation with God when it comes to relationship and with you. And it's because there's a lot of pain involved in this. So make sure you invite someone. Cool. This week, as we end this series, this conversation about Fight Club, the big idea about this has been, you know, if there's something in your life that's worth keeping, having, or creating, it's worth a fight. And so what I've encouraged you is to pick a fight. For your future, pick a fight and look at one thing or a couple of things. I've taken you through like 4 weeks, so it's four conversations about sort of topics that I believe that you should fight for. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk about freedom, actually financial freedom. So I want you to fight for your financial freedom. Now, if you're, again, you're like, oh, great, is this a money talk? Is this a tithing talk? Those of you who know what tithing is, it's church talk for giving money to the church kind of thing, okay? You're like, is this it? It's not. It's not. I'm not at the end of this thing. I'm not going to go, hey, and we're going to pass the plate. If you've been with us, we don't pass the plate. We're not going to do that. I believe in tithing. I think you should tithe. I think if you're a follower of Jesus, it's one of those things that's proof that you should support your local church and local work that God's doing. So if you're doing that, thank you so much, because Mosaic church is very generous, but this is not a tithing talk. This is not a you should give to the church talk. This is really a deeper talk about, you know, when it comes to all the anxiety and stress that you and I face and our culture faces when it comes to money, and especially in terms of not being really free to live the life you want to live and to express the kind of person you are when it comes to money, because there's a lack of money, people are strapped, there's all kinds of things. And so how do we break free? How do we go beyond the what we've been doing for the past couple of years? And so this year, I think it's a topic that I think we need to fight for. Maybe this is the year for your financial freedom. I mean, there's so many things you can work on, and you're like, I got this resolution and that resolution, but maybe for some of you, it's the one fight, and it might be the biggest fight of, not your life, but it might be the biggest fight for this season of your life, and especially this year, that maybe 2020, you can start afresh, not having piles of whatever, debt, anxiety, all kinds of, just concern about your future. I mean, maybe God says, hey, I want you to fight for this. And so what I want to do is I want to take you to the scriptures and kind of have a conversation about what Jesus thinks about when it comes to money and why he thinks that you should be free when it comes to your money. You should be free when it comes to using the resources that God has given you. Because the truth is, money and finances and how much we make and resources and possessions, they take over sometimes. And they cause fights and stress. They cause all kinds of grief. And God wants you to live a better life and a bigger life. And so it's worth fighting, because it is worth, it's a better life, it's worth having, it's worth creating, and so it's going to require a fight. So as we look at the scriptures, the first thing I think Jesus says is, he says, when he talks about money, he always says this, it seems like in the stories that he tells, he's asking a deeper question, and the question usually is, what drives you? So when it comes to your finances and when it comes to your spending habits, what drives us? Like what really drives us? So based on our past, based on our current future, based on maybe what we think the future is going to be, we have certain habits. What drives you though? Like what drives you? So this past, I think last week or something like that, my car had some issues. And so I rented, I borrowed a friend's car. And it's a smart car. Have you guys ever seen one of those smart cars? Let me show you a picture of a smart car. Let's see. So this is how smart this car is, okay? It's this big. It's this big. It's big. I mean, and this thing's got some power to it, horsepower to it. I actually did donuts in the parking lot. I have proof of that. And we'll show you a video really quick on that. So this is serious stuff. I wouldn't try this at home. There's a lot of power that's going around and around. It's a lot. Jennifer, my assistant, Pat Note, is in the car with me. She is actually, her feet are touching the ground. She's kind of doing the whole, she's helping the car out. This is it. Yes. Solid horn, solid. So I've been driving this thing for a week and a half now, and it's interesting. I get all kinds of comments. I've gotten all kinds of comments like, it's cute. That's one. The other is, it's dangerous. Like, don't die. Like, I've gotten a lot of those. Like, why are you on the highway with this thing? Like, what's going on? And then recently what I've gotten is the sense of embarrassment. Like I'm like, hey, you can ride with me. And they're like, no, I'm good. Like, I'm like, What's wrong? What's wrong with this? And then I think, I don't know who I was having a conversation with. They're like, see, it's just so hard for me, they said, so hard for me for you to walk into the car. Like, that's not you, bro. That's not you. You're bigger than the car. Like, you can't fit in that car. Like, it's just, and I said, I remember talking to someone, they're like, I said, are you embarrassed? They're like, sorta, really? I was like, what? You know what's interesting, though, is that when you talk about what drives you, I think it's true. When I heard that for the first time, I started thinking, oh, what do I look like when I drive this? Like, what's going on? Because I think what drives us is connected sometimes to what we drive are what we want to drive, right? It's connected to the kind of car, where we live, our resources, our education. That what drives our spending is this idea of like, we want to come across a certain way. Like for some of us, I think it's looks. Like we want to look a certain part. And I don't know if you've heard of Enneagram. Anybody have heard of Enneagram personality tests, right? So I believe I'm a 3. And it's definitely connected to this idea of looks. Like I want to be successful, or I want to at least look successful. Which, by the way, that was not the image of success, apparently. Nor smart. I don't know why they call it a smart car. But but I'm tempted to do that. I'm tempted to spend the money so I look a certain way. I'm tempted to spend money on image. I just am. It's just my personality. I'm tempted to. So sometimes that can drive me. Looks can drive me. For others of us, I think it's luxury. Maybe it's luxury for you. Like, no, I want this kind of comfort, this kind of quality food. I want this kind of vacation. I want this kind of place where I want to live. I mean, it's luxury. You don't want to buy a used whatever. You want to buy brand new. You want the best of the best. You want to do that. So that drives you. And for some of us, it drives us to get in debt. It drives us to do whatever it takes and spend our money because we want the best of the best. It's luxury. For others of us, I think it might be a lack. Like sometimes what drives us is this idea that we believe that there is a lack of resources in the world. Now, I don't know if you grew up in a big family. So our family total was 7 in Kuwait. Okay, in Kuwait, 5 kids, 2 brothers, 2 sisters, right? And so we lived in this one bedroom apartment in Kuwait. My mom and dad did not have a bedroom. They would put a mattress on in the living room and sleep in that. And so we didn't grow up rich by any means. And it was just one of those things. We just did that, and we had one room. So I never have ever had a room in my life. You know, never did. I mean, I never had a room and for my own. And I still don't. I still don't. Right, but. The sense of scarcity, the sense of like in life, there's a limited amount of resources, and you got to do what you got to do to get what you're gonna get, because you got to get your own. You got to get what's coming to you, or you got to just go hustle and grab, hold on, and hoard, because there's not a lot of resources. There's not a lot of promotions. There's not a lot of money. There's not a lot of opportunity out there, and so you have to go and hustle. And that was kind of driven inside of me. This idea of like, I've got to do this. And so when I came to the U.S. in 1992, after the Gulf War, I mean, Kuwait, the country I came from, was devastated. I mean, it was a war zone. We survived. But when I came here, I mean, I left a lot of, there was a serious lack. So like for the past 1992, so the 2 years before that, I mean, I didn't have meals, like full-on meals. Like we went through a war zone where, I mean, we were scraping by. Like, I don't know if you ever had, like, if anybody's in the armed forces or military food, I think they're called something. Sorry. That's it. Guess who's had them? We had them. We had peanut butter. We had all kinds of stuff. That was our kitchen, because we survived off of those. So anyways, I come in the U.S., and then I walk into Costco, and I go, oh, my gosh, this is heaven. What's going on? How many people live here? Like, oh my God, what? I mean, who really needs 24 cans of, or 52 cans of tuna? I don't even know. But it's a great price, so let's buy them all. Like I don't even like it, but I will just do it, you know? And so there was a sense of like, I lived in lack and lived in scarcity, but I came here and it was the land of abundance. But yet I find that so many people, they live in lack. And so maybe you're driven by that, hey, there's not enough out there, so I got to hoard it, I got to keep it. So I don't know what it is for you, but I think what Jesus is asking us is like, what really motivates and drives you? What drives your decisions? What drives you? And what has driven you to be in the financial position that you are right now? And could it be possible that lack and luxury and looks are not really the things that should drive you, because they're connected to fear and anxiety, they're connected to performance, they're connected to all kinds of things that are not really you, and they end up actually shaping you. And so Jesus is having a deeper conversation. What I want to talk to you about is that he proposes that love should actually drive your financial decisions. Now, this is kind of a talk that you're like, okay, I've heard of Christian money talks, and this is the weirdest one. And I get it. Usually, some of the talks I've given before are really practical. This one's kind of interesting, because as you look at the teachings of Jesus, you realize, man, he had just a way of going, I know you want to get answers to your questions, but the problem is you're asking the wrong questions. And so let's talk about the real questions. And so he talks about what really drives us and what is the cause of us being in financial bondage, if you're in. What drives your financial spending habits? What really should drive it? And he believes it is love. So let me take you to a passage of scripture. We'll kind of do like a Bible study on that. So it's the Good Samaritan story. So it's in Luke chapter 10. Let me read this to you. So Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 37. It says, Luke writes, he says, one day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? So let's just understand this. The story starts off with a guy coming up to him and saying him about the quality of life here and in eternal life, like the life to come. That's really the idea. That's the first, that's the start of the conversation. Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses says? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your, what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him. Do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Right? That's the question. So I just want you to understand that if you ever heard of the Good Samaritan story, or heard that phrase, it starts off by this guy going, I want to know how to live a particular kind of life, and I want to know how I'm going to live or what heaven will look like, or how do I inherit this abundant life? And then the answer Jesus gives him is, here's how you do it. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. So he connects eternal life to love. And then the guy says, well, who do I love and who's my neighbor? And then Jesus connects love to giving, which is so, to generosity, which is so interesting. So eternal life, the quality of life, is connected to love, and then love is actually connected to giving. So when he goes, hey, who's my neighbor? Jesus goes, well, let me tell you a story. He makes this up. He says, a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Now, that road that he's talking about down to Jericho, there was only one road. It was called the Way of the Blood. It was a very dangerous, windy road, and it was an actual road. And so when people go through that road, they were really self-conscious because they would get robbed there. So it was kind of a path to which people were all about themselves and getting through it. And it's kind of like a metaphor of life. Like we used sometimes in life, because things are so complicated and dangerous and all that, and it's just rough, and you think because there's not a lot of things to go around, you just focus on yourself. So he's like, there was a guy who basically was going through this path of where people just worry about themselves. He went down to Jericho, and then he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. When he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. Which is ironic. I think Jesus is having a great time here, because he's like, can I just point this out? It's always sometimes it's, or a lot of times I say, it's religious people, right? The people who are supposed to reflect God, who actually move away from people who are broken, who move away from pain. But Jesus' whole gospel idea is that you move towards pain and you move towards loss, right? And so he's like, oh no, because they don't want to get themselves into this. He crosses over and passes him. And then he says in verse 32, a temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there. But he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Let's stop right there. So Jesus says, so here's what happens. You get these two people, And then you got, I'll just suppose, a Samaritan comes by. And now Samaritan was like, they didn't like him. Like, do you have a, for example, do you have a political party you do not like? Anybody? Don't tell me who, but you do, right? You do. Do you have those people in your life? Those people? Those people you're like, you can't stand, right? Those Christians, those kind of Christians? Anybody? Do you have those? Those kind. Those, the wrong kind of Christians. Do you know those? The wrong kinds of people. The wrong kinds. Not like you. No, like the other. They're not smart. They're idiots. No. Those kind. So whoever that kind is, he says, well, whatever that you think, that's the kind of person. The one you do not like. He came by. He saw the man. He felt compassion for him. Going over, the Samaritan smoothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged him. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If the bill runs higher than this, I'll pay the next time I'm here. Now, which of these, Jesus says, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who attacked the bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. And then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. Now go and do the same. What do you mean, go do it, do the same? Well, he's connecting it back to the original question. He says, you want a quality of life, eternal life. And see, back in those days, eternal life was not just connected to a life that was going to come, but also the kind of life you could live here. So he's like, if you want to live a quality of life, it's actually connected to you, the way you love, and love requires that you give. And he connects it to money. He connects it to this idea of being free enough financially to love people well. The last time a guy came up to Jesus, asked him the same question. He's like, hey, what do I do to have eternal life? And the guy did the same thing, and then he said, okay, I've done it all. I've done all these commandments. I've done all this. And if you remember the story, Jesus says, okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to give away everything. I want you to sell everything. I want you to give away all your possessions and then come follow me. Again, Jesus goes, let me connect quality of life to love and then love to giving away, to being generous. And if you notice the story, the guy, he was rich and he was like, I'm not doing this. When Jesus said, hey, I want you to sell everything and come follow me, he left. He walked away because he had so much wealth. Or should I say, so much wealth had him. And so that's the question that Jesus wants to ask us when it comes to fighting for your financial freedom. Because this year, I think for some of us, you have to face the facts that you have fear and anxiety. You have all kinds of stress. And it's because of either decisions you've made out of desperation, decisions you've made out of the sense of, I want to look like this, or I want to have this kind of luxury, or I'm scared to do this, so I'm going to do this. And you've gotten into all kinds of debt. And we know this. We can talk about statistics. We can talk about all kinds of things. But you and I understand that sometimes arguments and fights take place. This wrestling match between, you know, husbands and wives and partners. I mean, it's just every, you know, in business, in any relationship where it concerns money, there's always this wrestle. There's always this tension of like, well, I want to do this and you want to do this. Well, you get to do this and I get to do this. And then people have separate bank accounts and people, it just gets weird. If you notice that, right? It gets all weird. It gets so weird. And what's really sad about this is when it comes to money and all the things that we worry about, the things we worry about, those are not permanent. Like, money is not even permanent. It really isn't, is it? It's not permanent at all. Like, so I've been reading this book called The Art of Letting Go, and the writer there talks about this idea of, like, there's a permanent self and there's a temporary self, right? There's a false self and there's a true self. There's a self that is going to last, and there's self that's not going to last. So this temporary self is my body, right? Everything that's concerning this kind of life, my resources, even my gender. I mean, all of these things are temporary. My permanent self is much deeper. It's my spirit. It's what's going to live forever. This body's not going to stay forever. It's going to be a different kind of life. I mean, Jesus even alludes to the fact, like, he says, hey, marriage is awesome. Marriage is great. But I just want you to know there will be coming a day where you are going to get to a point where it's not going to be, like, heaven's not going to be there. Marriage is not going to be a thing there. I mean, you know, because they asked him flat out. They're like, hey, is this going to last? There's so many things that will not last, but our permanent self will. And here is the danger. Here is this tension. Money and resources has the power to shape your character and steal your joy. It has that power. It can shape the kind of person you are. And that's why Jesus goes, hey, the quality of your life, the quality of the person you are, is connected to how well and free you love. And love is connected to giving. And giving anything, I mean, not just money, but everything of yourself. It's always connected to that. So if you break it down, love is basically the art of giving yourself away well. You give your emotions away. You give your trust and your faith away. You give your confidence. You give people. It's connected to that. And so many of us, and that's why this is a conversation. This is one of those things you have to fight for this year. Man, for so many of us, we are in bondage. We are stuck. We are strapped. We are upside down. We cannot love the way we want to. We can't give the way we want to because we made some choices. And now we're upside down on things, and we just want to give, and we want to provide, and we want to do this. Because you were born with a particular kind of spirit, and this spirit is connected to your father, and your father is a giver. And you feel alive when you give. And for so many of us, we haven't felt alive in a long time. It's because money and the lack of it, or the misuse of it, or the mismanagement of it, has what? Has reshaped your character and has stolen your joy. And this is the worth fighting for. This year for some of us. What do you have to do? And now I can, and here's what I'm telling you, the to do in this, like, okay, Naeem, what do I do? I can't tell you. All I do know is this. If there's one to do, it's not even worth writing down, okay? It's this. It's you got to have a plan, and you got to work a plan. I'm not talking about a budget. I'm talking about a plan. You got to sit down with some people. You got to sit down with your spouse. You got to sit down with your friends. You got to sit down with your business partner. You got to have a plan. You have a plan on how you're going to spend and how you're going to earn. You have to have a plan. And for so many of us, we don't have a plan. We just have a prayer. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I just hope it works, man. I hope I get a raise. And so many of us, our relationship with God when it comes to our promotion or jobs or money is a prayer. Oh, I pray. And sometimes the church can just say, even say, can play into that and say, hey, if you tithe, you get money. You know, God, you bless God, God gives you back, which is very dumb. Honestly, okay, and not biblical. It's not. It's really about having a plan, having a sense of, like, this is the kind of life I want to give. I want to be this person who gives generously because I want to love well, because I want to have a quality of life. Let me read you a passage of scripture. I think it's really profound. This is 2 Corinthians. Paul says this. He says, remember this. He says, remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully in another translation, you can actually say, who gives freely, who has the freedom to give. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Here's the question. Do you have a plan? Do you have a plan? Or is it just a prayer? Do you have a plan? What will it take for you to get a plan? We can help. We have people here who would help you. We can sit down with you. But this morning, listen, I want to pray for you because this is worth fighting for. Not fighting with people, fighting for. This is having a game plan of this is what I'm going to do. I mean, Ashley and I have had one from the very beginning, and it's allowed us to really never be caught up and bound by finances. And so you got to have a plan. People have a plan like 10, 10, 80. They save 10%, they give 10%, they live off of 80. Some people do 5, 5, 5, 15. Anyways, they look at percentages they want to give. And I tell people all the time, be a percentage giver. Get like, hey, we want to give this much percent. We want to give this much percent. And Ash and I get excited about it. We go, hey, this year, how much would we give away? How much percentage did we give away? And we get excited about that. But we have a plan. And you have to have a plan. Not just a daily, weekly thing. No. Hey, this is the plan. This is our plan for not this year, for 3 years, 5 years. This is our plan. Friends, you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan. Okay, lastly, I want to end with this. Okay? I'll tell you what hangs in the balance for some of you. I don't know if you're like me, but I didn't come from a rich, well-to-do house, and I came in with a very scarcity, lack mentality. And for me, I needed to break the cycle, like the generational cycle of my family. Like, I just need to break that. I need to break the whole, we've always been poor. We've always been lacking. We always struggle. We always whatever. We're always stingy. We're always, it's like this always, because our parents did it and then their parents did it. And there's a cycle. And I just want you to consider, man, break it. Break that cycle. Not just for yourself, but for generations to come. Break that cycle and not allow money or the lack of money or whatever steal your joy and shape your character. Do not allow it. Fight for it. Fight against it. Let me pray for you. Lord God, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you, God, for our lives. I thank you for what these conversations are all about. God, I know you've challenged us to ask deep questions about who we are and what drives us, what motivates us. And God, you show us by your stories that you provide for the Samaritan, the people we don't like, and sometimes it's the people we don't like who actually provide for us. But God, it's all connected to this idea of the kind of people we want to be and the kind of life we want to live. So God, I pray for my friends here, God, that we would not allow resources or money, things that are so temporary, to permanently shape our character and to steal our joy. God, I pray in Jesus' name against that. And I pray, God, that they would fight with everything they have. Fight to be free to give, to free to love, and to free to have eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.